Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This program is recorded.
Well, good morning and welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, joined today by Patrick Ryan. Patrick, hello.
Morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, you bet. Welcome to another broadcast. We have a really, really great broadcast today. We're going to be chatting with Helen Poulin with the State of Wisconsin EMS Office regarding relicensure, something that every EMT and emergency medical first responder must do every other year. And so this is our year for that, and we look forward to chatting with Helen in just a few minutes. And then about 9:20 or 20 minutes into the broadcast, we'll be chatting with Dr. Suzanne Martins regarding something we just learned about yesterday, and this deals with the Drug Enforcement Agency and a needed change in the handling of narcotics and the regulations that surround all of that. Dr. Martins will update us on that important information also. Patrick, I wanted to extend the first few minutes of time to you if you have any updates you want to share on community paramedicine legislation.
Thanks, Joe. Well, as I reported last show, we have kind of been put in a stall mode, meaning the time is just too tight right now with the short legislative calendar. I heard on my way into work today that the Assembly was going to take up 81 bills today. They thought they'd have about 11 or 12-hour session. So we just, unfortunately, we're not able to get the players together to kind of hammer out some of these last remaining issues to be able to go forward as a cohesive group with our legislation and, you know, getting the backing of the legislators that we'd work with. So, it's not ideal, but I don't think it's necessarily discouraging. It's just that's the wheels of government turn slowly. And I am confident that the folks that are moving forward with different pilot programs, staying within the scope that exists, are going to be doing fine. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So I think we just need to further continue to lay the groundwork so that when the time comes into the next legislative session, we can have some successes to call back on or fall back on and report on so that it even makes our case even an easier sell, so to speak. So, again, it's just as I've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years with legislation, it's pretty standard. It never goes as quickly as you want it to. So we need to keep at it, keep progressing forward, and we are moving forward with community paramedic in Wisconsin. We just need to stay at it.
Congratulations, too, to you and your organization, Patrick, at Ryan Brothers Ambulance in Madison. I recently saw via the American Ambulance Association EMS newsfeed that your organization opened its second community paramedicine clinic in Madison.
Yeah, that's just kind of started as a real grassroots type effort. There was some voids in the Madison area for low-income housing. In the past, some local hospitals that had social workers and nurses in a couple of these facilities, and we've just done it under the umbrella of our service medical director, donating our time, really using it as a three-pronged approach. One was to provide some clinical time for our community paramedics through the Hennepin Technical College program that we've been a part of. Secondly, kind of really furthering to communicate about the community paramedic model to get more buy-in to show that it's viable. And then thirdly, and probably most importantly, is to provide a community service to people that don't get enough options for their health care. So it's been quite successful. It's still small scale, very small scale. But again, little by little, we've now first started to get some calls back from physicians who find out that their patients as residents of those facilities are coming to see our community paramedic and are starting to interact with our community paramedic to exchange information on people's progress. So I think it's a great move forward. And again, it's just a start, but it's a good one nonetheless. And we need to go through that process to kind of, again, on a grassroots level, get exposure for the community paramedicine model.
Very good. Congratulations on those efforts. It sounds very, very interesting, and hopefully it will give people an outlook as to how the community paramedicine system works, and it just continues to evolve. And once legislation's in place, that'll give something behind it to support the effort quite a bit further. But congratulations on that work. Thank you very much for sharing that update. Today's program will run approximately 40 minutes. Today's show is sponsored by Boundary Medical, Godfrey & Kahn Law Firm, Trans World Systems, American Ambulance Association. This is Joe Cavelli with Patrick Ryan. Our first guest, starting in just about a minute, is Helen Poulin with the State EMS Office. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Boundary Medical helps America's EMS and fire departments save lives by providing a full array of medical equipment and supplies. You can, of course, get national brands from Boundary, but did you know that Boundary's private label products can save you up to 20% off the price of name brand? Another way to save is when you need to update your AEDs, defibrillators, monitors, and pumps. Boundary's recertified equipment offering provides you solutions at a fraction of the new price. You can also save with Boundary's smart kitting solutions. Order custom pre-assembled kits at a cost-effective price and ensure you have the products you need on scene. With a full line of pharmaceutical supplies and equipment, Boundary can help you save lives and meet your budget. Visit www.boundary.com today to see how Boundary can lend a hand. Having trouble collecting on past due accounts or your aging report continues to increase? Contact Transworld Systems and ask about their easy flat fee collection service that averages just $10 per past due account. With better than average industry collection results, Transworld presents an option versus writing off that $500 or $2,000 patient bill. For more information, go to PAW's homepage and click on Transworld's banner ad. Collections just got easier with Transworld System.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan. Pleased to bring into the conversation Helen Poulin. Helen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Joe, for having us.
It's great to have you with us. Helen is with the State of Wisconsin EMS Office, the licensing coordinator. Helen, it's great to have you with us, and I know we're going to be chatting about something very important, that is the relicensing of every emergency medical responder, EMT, paramedic, critical care paramedic in the state. It's over 20,000 renewals. How do you do it, Helen?
Very carefully, with a lot of the partnerships and good providers.
Terrific. What can you share with us here regarding the upcoming renewal and what's most important for people to know about?
Well, first of all, I want to really thank you for allowing us this opportunity to talk to all of our providers and stakeholders throughout this process. Every renewal, we always believe that we are hybrid during our renewals and try to keep advancing the process to get the information that we need with the least amount of impact on our providers. And you'll see that with the new renewal application that we developed. The new application is basically a yes and no statements of understanding with your initials added to it that you understand the statements that you're attesting to. We realized in the last process that the educational matrix was not really giving us any real value out of that information, so we kind of trimmed back on that and went to a yes and no question, asking providers that they have met the administrative code DHS 110.07 renewal standards and taken that matrix completely out of that application. And I believe that that has dramatically helped in our auto renewals. One of the things that we have with that is with the auto renewals that once you get your application and it's true and correct and you have no issues that would flag the account, your license is produced to you and auto-generated immediately upon submission. So it's really real-time license renewal process right into the hands of the providers and gives them the ability to have that done while in time before the June 30th end date.
I know the times that I've done it, it has worked out really slick. And that was also very impressive. You know, you can get everything lined up, you get it entered into the system, and you submit it, and you have your license emailed to you within seconds. It's very, very impressive. What are some things that you recommend at this point, Helen, knowing that the deadline for responders to get this all done with the deadline date of June 30th, 2016, at this point in time, with some months to prepare, what are some things that you suggest to them that they should be doing right now if they haven't already?
Get into a refresher. As most of our providers last night should have received through the nighttime, the renewal reminder with all of the requirements and these tools to be able to complete the 2016-2018 license certification renewal with all of those requirements in there. Follow that application process and you will be successful. If you do not have a refresher lined up for you right now, you need to find that refresher as soon as possible or come up with an alternative refresher plan as a flexible content. But all of this needs to be done and completed by June 30th of 2016. Because after that date, providers will then slide into the late renewal process, and then you still have to have that refresher, and there's a $50 administrative fee that goes along with that. And we don't want that to be the process. We want to get everybody renewed to keep our rosters flush by June 30th of 2016.
I've known Helen a long time, and she is very, very passionate about emergency medical services, and licensing is very near and dear to her as well. And so we always want to suggest that you do this early so it's a successful renewal experience. Helen, what happens if somebody doesn't renew their license? There's a glitch. Something happens. There's a delay. And that June 30th date passes. I know you said there's an option for late renewal, but can somebody still practice patient care? Can they still work on their ambulance? What happens if they unfortunately miss the renewal period, that deadline date?
Absolutely not. They are, after the stroke of midnight on June 30th of 2016, that license goes expired in the e-licensing system. Once that happens, a person is made inactive because you no longer have an active license, and you are dropped off of any roster in the Wisconsin EMS system. Because you are no longer currently licensed, you are not eligible to maintain your standing on a roster in the state of Wisconsin. If that happens, if someone goes on a call like that and operates without their license, their name will not appear in the ward's drop-down box as being able to be listed in, as a provider. So there's things that are happening in the background that should be triggers. And we also ask that service directors, before you put that July roster together, make sure that you have a actual standing that individual has been licensed before you put them on the roster and put them on the schedule to operate as a responder.
As a responder, you should probably be – I'm sorry, Helen, I kind of talked over you there. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry, because once you slide into late renewal, you are not able to function until you have reinstated your license through the late renewal process.
Okay, very good. So you don't want to have that happen. So probably the best thing for individual responders to do is be communicating with their ambulance director, leader, or local technical college regarding some of their options with the renewal process. Helen, what is all included in the renewal? We often talk about, you know, relicensing. But what are the components that actually make up that relicensing so someone will have a successful experience?
Well, as I mentioned before, we sent out that renewal requirement, and that's really been a good resource tool where it breaks down for each level, specifically what each level needs to be able to be a successful renewing application. The criteria are different for each level, of course. CPR is required for first responders, EMRs, and an 18-hour first responder refresher course through a technical college. At this point in time, they are not allowed to complete content at the first responder level. For the basic, it's very similar. They have the option, though, at the basic level to be able to complete flexible content. At this point in time, there still needs to be that six-hour formal mini refresher completed through a technical college, but you have the ability to complete 24 hours of flexible content. One of the key important things to remember is that if anyone, as a provider in Wisconsin, updated their education or received initial education of any type for an upgraded level license or an initial license from July 1 of 2014 through June 30th, 2016, they can use that education to not only renew their license, but have also have the ability to upgrade to that level for the education that they've received. So if you've taken, you're an EMT basic, you've taken the paramedic course halfway through the biennium, you can renew your paramedic license based on that initial education if it was completed between July 1, 2014 and June 30th of 2016. There's a lot of information, and that's why we've dedicated that EMS 2016 renewal webpage on the homepage of the Wisconsin EMS website. It's one-stop shopping for all of your renewal information.
Very good. And somebody will also need to have an online account, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right? In order to renew, it's
Absolutely.
All online. So they'll have to have an online account. And you can find the information out on the Department of Health EMS website. Helen, do you have that off the top, what the website is, so people have a reference or they can just Google it?
Yeah, I would suggest everybody Google Wisconsin EMS. It'll bring it right up for you.
Right. Right, right. Very good. What are some things that you notice as far as errors or omissions or mistakes that sometimes happen with renewal? Maybe we could get some of that out there so people are aware of some of the setbacks that may happen. Are there some consistent things that happen when doing renewals?
Yeah, make sure that you actually read the questions before you answer them and attest to them. The application is a little different this year. It gives you several pop-ups before you submit the application as benchmark reminders asking you if you're sure you want to submit that application. Also, to make sure that you actually have completed a refresher before you submit an application into the system for renewals. Because once you do that and you haven't completed the education, it's a fraudulent application.
Okay, and we don't need any of those, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The best thing that we can tell people is, even if you're in a refresher right now, start planning your refresher for your next biennium, because the sooner you get them done, the sooner you can get through this process with your people and have your roster refreshed and ready to go and not have these problems dragging behind you.
And keep in mind, there's 20,000 individuals that need to relicense. Helen, before we started the program, you mentioned 2,000 or so had already renewed, so got a long way to go yet.
Yep, we're almost at 3,000 right now. We started opening renewal number first because we understand that once we tied administrative fees to the process, we wanted to make sure that our providers had ample time to be able to complete the process. At this point, they have about 9 months to complete the renewal process application, and the application process itself takes about 15 to 20 minutes.
Right. Pretty painless once you get everything completed. Just a matter of doing a little data entry.
Absolutely.
Very, very good. From Patrick, if I could bring you into the conversation from an administrator's standpoint of an ambulance service, are there things that your staff share with you or things that you come across with renewal?
I did hear of a story recently, and I know Helen can't, comment on any specific situations, but what if someone does make a mistake as they are filling out their online renewal? Is there a process in place to quickly address that so that the right thing can happen? I did hear that last time, when people have a little, they get real nervous. I know you did kind of spell out that process, but I think mistakes can still happen, and it really is more clerical as opposed to, say, fraudulent. Can you speak to that at all, Helen?
There's some things that are easily made a mistake, but this application, I believe, has been designed to be pretty intended to collect the correct information. If someone makes a mistake, they can always contact our office. That application then is reviewed by the division of management, and the decisions are based on what the information was and what the information surrounding it is. But there's some items that obviously have to be addressed by a different set of standards based on criminal history events, education not being even started when the application has been submitted. Those are high-stakes items that have to be addressed.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, very important. Helen, are there some things that we didn't cover yet? I know we're approaching 20 minutes into the show. I just want to give you a chance if there was something we didn't cover at this point.
Nope. If you can't get that email with all of the renewal requirements sent to your email inbox. You probably don't have a good email inside of the EMS licensing system, and you should probably email your new current information to the DHS EMSS webmail box. And all of that information is found on the renewal page, and it's also been sent out to the providers through their initial contacts. Hopefully we can get everybody where we need them to be in the appropriate time frame.
Very good. Helen, thank you for sharing your information this morning. This is most helpful. Give people a good start. Get this all taken care of early rather than later. Don't have to worry about things or sweat the details at the last minute.
Absolutely.
Okay. Helen Poulin, Wisconsin State EMS Office. Thanks for everything you do, Helen, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Helen.
Thanks for having us, Joe. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You do the same. You're most welcome. All right, we're going to continue the program. We've added on to the program. Something came to our attention yesterday. Patrick shared it with me, and it regards something at the federal level with controlled narcotics. So after our next break, we'll be chatting further with Dr. Suzanne Martins about what's happening at the federal level and this important initiative that we'd like to get you involved in. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Our program continues after these brief messages. This webcast is sponsored by the American Ambulance Association, who represents ambulance services with members providing emergency and non-emergency medical transportation services to more than 75% of the U.S. population. The AAA serves as a voice and clearinghouse for ambulance services across the nation and is a leading Washington, D.C. lobbying association for the ambulance industry. The AAA views pre-hospital care as an essential part of the total public health care system. Get to know the AAA at www.the-aaa.org. That again is www.the-aaa.org. Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan today. I'm pleased to bring into the conversation Dr. Suzanne Martins. Dr. Martins is the Wisconsin State EMS and Trauma Medical Director. Dr. Martins, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you with us, and thank you for sharing some information yesterday that was happening at the federal level that Patrick brought to my attention. We're pleased that you could join us on short notice. We did want to get the word out because without a change in federal legislation, the Department of Drug Enforcement will have to change their practice in how they regulate and monitor ambulance services, which would be pretty significant. Can you offer some additional information on this that's very important?
Sure. For decades, the DEA has been working with EMS agencies because we've recognized that we don't quite practice the same way as they do, say, in facilities or offices. And not only does that apply to how we, like, order and move our medications, but it also directly impacts the way we deliver them to patients. So this has been an ongoing project for many, many years, almost two decades worth. And the other thing is EMS is considered in different categories in different states. So in about one-third of the states, it's in one category, and then the definitions apply variously throughout the rest of the nation. So this was brought forward, and the bill that is in question is the House of Representatives Bill 4365. The current title is Protecting Patient Access to Emergency Medications Act. And it recognizes that EMS performs its jobs a little bit differently. What it would allow EMS agencies to do is to register directly and be recognized as direct providers with their own oversight of the controlled substances. And this is handled this way already in certain amount of states. The other thing is, in many areas, the DEA registration is under the physician name, which puts it primarily the physician's responsibility and can actually put a significant amount of liability on the physician to do this. So therefore, there's some caution associated with this practice. Hence, we recommend that it be transferred mostly to the agency's responsibility and liability. And then the second important part is that it recognizes that the EMS practice is different in that in many places we operate on protocols and standing orders. And this is something that's not done in the rest of medicine for the most part in regards to controlled substances. So say, for example, we have to treat a seizure patient, we use a controlled substance, one of the benzodiazepines, and many areas use this without having to contact medical control. If this bill does not go through, it is then assumed that every single one of these orders would involve a specific voice order from medical control before this can be carried out. And as we know, that can sometimes cost a significant delay in our treatment. So that's the main important parts. The other things that they consider is things that we already know about the proper ordering and tracking of controlled substances. It also acknowledges that within an EMS agency, instead of being in offices, and in the other case, every single ambulance would be considered an office, this allows for the movement of these medications between the ambulances within an agency.
Okay, those are some pretty significant things there if this change does not happen, especially with handling each ambulance as an office. I would imagine that means each ambulance would be individually licensed with a DEA number.
Theoretically, that would be the application. And currently, mm-hmm. the cost of a DEA registration is $731 for 3 years. There is a way to consolidate into what's called a distributor's license, which costs roughly twice as much but allows you to handle multiple locations. That has been considered as an option in the past. However, if this legislation is successful, then we will not have to apply that consideration, and an agency will only be required to have one registration per state in which it operates. That's an important part for some of our agencies that work on border states, because, say, if they work in Wisconsin as well as either Michigan, Illinois, or Minnesota, they will be required to register in each state.
Very good. Thank you for pointing those excellent details out. Dr. Martins, what do you suggest individuals and ambulance services providers do as far as sharing their concerns or support with their elected officials?
Well, I wanted to mention that this information actually was brought forward while I was attending our annual convention, our National Association of EMS Physicians meeting was in January. Coordinated with that was a meeting of the medical directors under the National Association of EMS Officials, or NASEMSO, and that's where we obtained this information. The National Association of EMS Physicians is actually sponsoring part of this legislation and is part of the cooperative agreement of the organizations that brought this forward. And the list of organizations that are supporting this is rather impressive in their unique cooperation. So it appears that many associations involved in the various agencies that work in EMS are fully in support of this legislation. There is a link on the EMS Physicians website that has a toolkit. Part of that toolkit is what I provided to all of my own EMS providers, and I also forwarded through the like I said, all the EMS agencies that I work with. So we're kind of starting grassroots down and going up. The recommendation is to contact your appropriate representative in the House of Representatives and make them aware of your, you know, positive sponsorship and encourage them to also be a sponsor of this bill when it comes up for vote. Currently, it's still in various subcommittees, so I can't actually tell you when they're going to process this final legislation.
Okay, and I know with what you sent out, too, there was a draft or a template letter that somebody could easily copy and insert their particular information for local information. So it is very, very easy to do this. It's mostly a matter of knowing who your elected, federally elected official is and then to forward them that information. We'll post this to Dr. Martins on the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin website so individuals can look for that information a little bit later today once we conclude the broadcast.
Okay, very good. And also, I guess that the other way to get the information is on the National Association of EMS Physicians main website. The link to the toolkit is there, and embedded within the toolkit is actually how to identify who your representative is if you're not familiar with that.
Great. Can't make it any more simple than that, so we'll be happy to share that information. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure was touched on with this topic, or maybe anything else that you have happening at the state right now?
Well, the one thing, and I know that you had included this in the email, but again, I emphasize that the list of supporting organizations for this is varied and unique in that they all believe that this is a good idea to go forward. And if you look at the list, they don't often agree on the fine points of legislation. So this is a unique opportunity for diverse stakeholders to come together and have a voice in EMS.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much, Dr. Martins, for sharing this information with us. Again, you can find the information at various resources that were mentioned, to include the PAW website, paaw.us. Thank you. And if you'd keep us apprised of any changes here as things move forward, Dr. Martins, we'd be happy to share that with our audience.
All right. Well, thank you for helping me spread the information.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Appreciate your work on this. Have a good day.
You too.
Patrick, are you with us yet?
I am.
All right, very good. What did you think about that, Patrick, from an administrator standpoint, hearing some of those things?
It's greatly needed. I know we had a great presentation both at PSOW as well as one of our calls in the past, Joe, from a representative from the DEA that did touch on a number of these topics that are things that, you know, some of them were on the books but not necessarily enforced. But there's just a lot of gray, and I think that is, you know, for a person in my position, that makes you very nervous, especially when it's difficult to meet the letter of the law. So very practical changes that are being proposed here, and I encourage everybody to get out and get it known that this is something that we support and need in our industry.
Very good. That's an excellent point. We did speak with Kathy Federico. She's actually the supervisor for the Wisconsin division of the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, and she, now, if I recall right, that conversation was last year around June or July, and she brought some of these things forward as far as what they look at when evaluating and inspecting ambulance services. And you're right, Patrick, this does clean up a lot of the gray area that she was sharing with us at that time, too. So this is a great effort. We appreciate Dr. Martin sharing it with us, and we'll be happy to support this. If you have any questions further about this, please feel free to contact us at the association. Our number is 414-236-4192. That number is 414-236-4192. Or email, my name is Joe, J-O-E, at paaw.us. And we'll be happy to directly communicate with you on this. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer those too. Patrick, did you have anything else before we wrap the conversation up today?
No, I'd just like to applaud you, Joe. Again, a great timely topic, or a number of timely topics here today, and this is really a great, great service. And I'm hearing from more and more people that that tune in, you know, as often as they can. Now with this being twice a month, I think there's more to cover, and you're doing a great job with that. We appreciate your work,
appreciate
Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Patrick. It's a great forum to share information, and really that's what we're trying to do with it. And it also gives people the convenience to either listen live and participate or to listen at a time that's convenient to them. So all of our programs are recorded. You can refer to the PAW website, and on the homepage we have a link to the archive so you can listen to any previously broadcast program via that link, which makes it very, very convenient to listen to past programs or programs that maybe people have spoken with you about and you wanted to hear directly on the broadcast. So, well, if there's nothing else at this point in time, we'll conclude things for today's program. EMS Live in Wisconsin is broadcast via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesdays every month. So don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. We sure invite you to participate in the programs. As a reminder, all of our past shows are located on the PAW website in the archive section. Thank you very much for listening to today's broadcast of EMS Live in Wisconsin. Have a great day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.